Welcome to the Gigabyte Podcast, a biweekly download of information from the city of Gig Harbor, hosted by Mayor Tracy Markley.
Welcome back to the Gigabyte Podcast. We are on episode 3. I'm Mayor Tracy Markley, and I am pleased to have our Public Works Director, Jeff Langhelm, with us this morning, as well as our Communication and Tourism Director, Laura Pettit. Welcome to both of you. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Mayor.
Good morning.
So we wanted to talk about the Gig Harbor Sports Complex this morning for a couple reasons. The first being we are just so excited about this project. We're excited that it is coming to almost where we can talk about a groundbreaking sometime in the next year or so. I'm hoping for the next year or so. But I wanted to bring Director Langhelm on this morning because we've had some misinformation floating around kind of throughout the last 6 months or so, but really kind of ramped up in the last couple weeks. And so we wanted to just share the facts about this project and, and just really reiterate our excitement, our amazing partnership with the YMCA, and excited we'll have Charlie Davis on a little bit later as well from the YMCA. And so just looking forward to putting to rest maybe some of the rumors you've heard or things that are just not positive about this project. So we want to talk about what is positive and what is actually happening. So Jeff, if I'll just kind of let you, start off with maybe where we are now, and then maybe we'll work backwards and maybe we'll go forwards. We'll just kind of let it just see how it goes.
Great. Thank you. So right now we are in the midst of designing phase 1B. You've probably seen maps of how this site is laid out. Three sites in total. We're taking them one at a time for logistical purposes. And so we are receiving public input as we proceed through the design of phase 1B. This includes a whole host of facilities at phase 1B. We've got our performance stage. We've got our event lawn in front of the performance stage. We have a whole large set of playground equipment for all ages and abilities. There's parking to go along with all of this. A few picnic areas. And the city is building the restrooms that are intended to be used at phase 1A, which is the lit turfed fields, mm-hmm. and the restrooms for the phase 1B area. Though it also includes bocce ball courts, 3 bocce ball courts, and 6 pickleball courts. So there are a lot of areas that are intended to be used on their own and not just to support the fields.
Yeah, and I love that because we have had some requests, a lot of requests and a lot of community feedback about having a neighborhood park in Gig Harbor North, something that is, the neighborhood parks are great, like the neighborhood parks in McCormick Creek or Harbor Hill, but they're pretty tiny little play structures. There's not really a whole lot of, there's not parking unless you're parking in front of someone's house or, on the street. And so there was feedback about needing fields, but then also in addition to the fields, having a place where parents and, younger siblings have a place to go while their other child is practicing or, lit. I know there's going to be some lit paved trails that kind of go around, walking trails around the phases where you can, that will join the two phases, but also a safe place to just take your baby in a stroller while your older children are at practice or, come have a larger place to do events. The stage, I think we council saw that. When was that council study session? It was like in the summer, I think.
Yeah, I think it was in June.
Yeah, where they picked some ideas for the stage, what's going to cover over the stage. And it's going to look very architecturally neat and just it's going to be really cool to be able to have some larger concerts and larger functions there. In addition to being able to also then utilize the field sometimes for more than just sports, use them for a community fair or something like that. We've had a lot of ideas thrown out about how we can use these joint properties together. And so I'm excited to see how it's all going to look in the end. I think having those covered play structures or covered picnic structures is going to be so useful. As it rains a lot here, so people have been asking for more covered play structures, and so they're gonna have that too. So, Yeah. So what, you know, when, how did all of this start? How did we, when was it that the YMCA and the city started talking about forming this partnership for the Y to build the fields and then for the city to build the phase 1A or phase 1B park?
There was discussions that started before 2017. It was though probably about 2017 that the council at the time and the YMCA started to really engage routinely, and there were concepts that came forward and the potential of different properties in and around the YMCA, because the city owns quite a few acres just south of the YMCA. And then there's the Little League, which the city now owns. Mm-hmm. Those properties just west of the YMCA. And then these properties, the Phase 1A, 1B property to the north of the YMCA, were looked at by the council at the time as more opportunities for more athletic facilities. And so the council, I think, in the YMCA, they started to have these discussions that brought forward concepts of a much larger facility than just one or two, because the one or two fields was all that was ever talked about for the city's property to the south. Mm-hmm. And so when there was this, the sports groups came in and said, there's more of a demand than one or two fields. And so it was very clear that the YMCA wanted to participate. They could also, as Charlie will probably talk about, how they see utilization of the fields. Mm-hmm. And then the sports groups will be there wanting to use fields. So it was shortly after those conversations started, the city looked at the Peninsula Light Fields, and then immediately in that same year, 2017, purchased the Phase 1A, 1B site.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's been some questions about why there's only $60,000 in this 2023-2024 budget going towards phase two, which is where the Peninsula Light Fields currently are. Can you explain why that is?
Yes. The phase two facilities have a general concept of what the sports groups and the city want to see there, but there was nothing ever established of exactly what the improvements would look like. And so that $60,000 in the budget feasibility study would take the master plan concept and move it forward and be able to identify and create what we call a scope, mm-hmm, of what will actually occur to make those improvements at Little League Fields Phase 2. And then once there is a scope established, public weighs in, sports groups, the city council weighs in, then that scope will set the stage for all of the rest of the design and permitting and, mm-hmm, construction of the facility.
Yeah, and then, you know, another question that we had is, why is phase three being converted to trails?
Well, that's a concept that's been out there for a little bit, to use phase three now on, mm-hmm, an interim basis, because right now it's just trees and shrubs. And so the idea has been to, instead of just having it be an open area, open space that is not accessible, to, until such time the fields are actually going to be developed, then put some trails on them and utilize it in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just to clarify there too, so with the feasibility study and the scope being provided, at that point then you can establish a budget once you know what the scope of work is, and that can be presented to either this or future councils, yes?
Yes, exactly. It just takes that feasibility study to establish what phase two would look like, and then we would have enough information to figure out how to fund the phase two site development.
So the only reason that's not in the 23-24 budget is because we don't have an amount just yet, and that may be approved in future years.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and same with phase three. You know, the council will change probably two more times before we would have phase three feasibility study at this point, because we have to do it in phases, correct?
Could it
be done? I mean, we have a master plan, you know, that shows kind of everything, but none of that is to scale. None of that has to topographical things taken into account. So it's not what you see isn't exactly what we're going to end up with.
Correct. It's all concept. And so we do it in phases because it is otherwise a lot to fund. It's a lot of money to bring together all at once. But also we want to make sure that we're building something, utilizing it, seeing how it's used. And then if we need to change something as we proceed, then let's learn from what we've built and then build something better as we proceed.
Yeah. And that was a question with, amongst several members of our community that were concerned about traffic, you know, going through Gig Harbor North and traffic on Harbor Hill and Borgen, you know, with the village going in up the road and then with adding the first two fields. You know, the Little League fields are already there. They're already being utilized. Obviously, they'll be utilized more once they're turfed and lit. But it's impossible for us to future forecast 7 years down the road. You know, with new housing coming in and new businesses coming in, we don't know. You know, we have traffic studies, but until it's built and you're living it and you're kids are playing on it and you really don't know how it's going to go and if it would be wise or unwise to proceed with additional phases or do what we're trying to do now, which is partner with the school district, partner with other organizations that are building fields in other parts of the city and just outside city limits and trying to share the wealth, I guess, in terms of field space, because the city can't do it all. And I, you know, as we've mentioned, and as the sports groups have even told us, six fields isn't enough. They need more than six fields. And so maybe talk a little bit about what you've been hearing, you know, from the community in terms of how we can partner with these other entities to get more fields in the city and be a partner with them to do that.
Yeah, we've seen and heard a lot from the public about ways that they want to have existing facilities utilized to their highest potential. We're going to be working with the school district and Penn Met Parks to review what is in inventory and then work on what we can do to use that, whether it's parking, whether it's existing open spaces, fields that are already established, to make them more usable. Because we don't want to go in, develop a site, which includes removing existing vegetation, putting in impervious surfaces, and that when we already have those sites in our infrastructure.
Well, but also there is a benefit to having a sports complex with as many fields as possible, because that is where tournaments will be held. And that's the whole purpose of having
bringing everyone together
is for tournaments and for our kids to not have to go to Tukwila and, you know, other places far away to have a tournament. We will be able to host tournaments here in our city. So I think that's the benefit of trying to build the fields together. But if we can't do that, then they still need practice fields aside from tournament fields. They just need places to practice and they don't have that. So that's why it's easier to, we can have the more fields we have, the more practice time and the more practice space there is for all these kids that are on waiting lists. Thousands of kids are on waiting lists. But eventually what the goal is to have a place where you can bring an entire soccer tournament here. You can bring a football tournament here. You can bring lacrosse here and have those be all in one place where people are staying in our hotels. They're eating in our restaurants. They're shopping in our stores. And it's for economic development and more. I mean, most importantly, it's for our youth to have a place to play. But instead of us going and spending money in Tukwila, let's spend it in Gig Harbor.
Tell us a little bit more about what the priorities are in the budget, too. I know there's been some questions on if the city has funds set aside for commercial boats and luxury yachts over the lit turfed fields. And I think that might be a misconception that the both of you can speak to in the budget.
So the budget for the parks capital, parks development side of the city is broad. We have a lot of parks and different types of parks that we serve and are developing. The city is trying to spend that money across the various user groups, and the sports complex is one of many user groups that we try and serve. And so we have looked, as we've proceeded through the years, at where we need to spend the money, not only with the user groups, but in locations throughout the city. We have Veterans Memorial Park on the southwest side. We've been putting improvements there. It's well received. And we've been spending a lot of the budget funds across the waterfront also, with the community paddler's dock and the boat storage building. And we have been working with commercial fishermen for years on helping find facilities for them to use. Mm-hmm. That's been the Maritime Pier and the Ansich Pier. And now we are working to have the Ansich float system out in front for the commercial fishing operators. This is going to be a facility that's been in the making also for years. And this will allow those commercial fishing operators that haven't been able to find moorage, because there are so many recreational marinas here in Gig Harbor now that buy up, take over what used to be traditionally commercial fishing floats and piers. So the budget is broad, and we are trying to fund that wide variety of mm-hmm. users.
Yeah, and it was mentioned once upon a time, I think an idea was thrown out to have luxury yachts be able to moor there in the summer when the fishermen are out. I personally don't like that idea, because having the paddler's dock there and that being so utilized in the summer by our kayak team and by the public in general, I think it's a great relationship to have those two docks next to each other, because they are gone in the summer when the other dock is used so much. So I don't think this council, and I won't speak for them, you all can write them if you'd like to know, you know, what they think, but I don't think that their intention is to have luxury moorage at all. It's just for commercial fishing purposes. And so that is, I think, this council, it's council's intention. It's my intention that, you know, when the commercial fishermen are not docked there, then nobody's docked there. And obviously it will be maintained and looked after, you know, while they're gone for the summer. But they should have the ability to be moored there at all times. That's why we're building it. We're building it for them, for the purpose of commercial fishing.
And that's who we're designing it for. We are working directly with the commercial fishing operators mm-hmm. on the design. We're not looking to recreational boaters to provide us any input. You're right. Could it accommodate? Maybe, yes. But that's not the intent. And so that's how we're proceeding.
Yeah. Yeah. So I hope that answers that question for the public, because I know that the neighbors were a bit concerned about having just these giant yachts, you know, coming and going when the fishermen aren't there. And so I don't believe that is the intention of this council at all. So we would like to see a working waterfront with our fishermen down there cleaning their nets and, you know, showing kids how to do it. And it's going to be a great opportunity for field trips, for classrooms to be able to come down and actually see what our commercial fishing industry is and what these guys do, because it's pretty amazing.
That kind of hits two points too, is you know, economic development and smart growth, and then also preserving our cultural heritage as a city.
Yeah, absolutely. Long awaited.
Yeah. Well, to return to the sports complex as well, you know, there's been some questions about how things are funded and what relationship the Y and the city have. And what fundraising looks like for phase 1A. And I know we'll have the YMCA CEO, Charlie Davis, on to talk about that in a little bit. But talk to us a little bit more about what the city has committed to date, and then also what the fundraising process looked like. I understand that the city has secured an RCO grant to go specifically toward the fundraising that goes to phase 1A, which goes directly to the Y. Tell us a little bit more about what our commitment is and how we're helping the Y and why that relationship exists.
Well, the city originally bought the properties that phase one, 1A, 1B sit on. And so the city spent $3.5 million for those two properties. And then that was when, like I said, in 2017, when we started to have the conversations with the YMCA about how to utilize, best utilize, and how we would be able to meet the needs of the Y and the sports groups and the city. And so the city, right after we acquired the property, applied for an RCO grant to help offset some of the costs of synthetic fields and lighted fields and parking. And so we received $350,000 from the RCO for that intended purposes. We, as we proceeded in their discussions with the YMCA, we entered into a lease agreement in 2021. And as part of that lease agreement, we are going to be handing that RCO grant over to the YMCA as part of the funding for the project. And then also, we then were supposed to be working with the YMCA on the Phase 1B development, and we, the city's Phase 1B, would come after the Phase 1A was constructed. However, due to COVID and a whole number of reasons, and Charlie will talk more about that, I'm sure, but the YMCA had to postpone some of their efforts on the Phase 1A, and the city elected to take over the site development. And so we are now funding a lot of the site development costs mm-hmm. that are required for Phase 1A and 1B to be installed at those on those properties. And included in that are the restrooms. Originally, the YMCA was going to be first, so they would build the restrooms. But now the city is going to be first with 1B, and so we're building restrooms. So it's really a sharing, mutual cost mm-hmm. sharing for the site. Talking with the YMCA's Jesse Palmer, they're getting ready to move forward soon with their design. And so, again, Charlie will probably talk about that, but we're ready to help. We just need, are waiting for them. If they need our help in any way, we're right here waiting for them. And they said, thank you. We'll let you know.
Wonderful. And the Y also provides a lot of services that the city may not have been able to, including scheduling for those fields once they're built and the staffing of those and the maintenance of those. And that's a commitment from them on a long-term basis to replace turf when it wears out and replace all of these items that would need to be. So we've really, as a city, funded this through a variety of mechanisms, whether that be state funding, federal asks, city budget, and the YMCA's fundraising, which also goes out to major gifts and other donors, which I know Charlie will talk about a bit further. So there's really a multi-tiered structure in funding this project, and it comes from not one source, but many. And it really is a full community effort that we've all put our work into. I know there's been a lot of staff time from Public Works, of course, in the land use and permitting and everything that needs to go into this project, not just for 1B, but for 1A too. So I think this is the correct number, Jeff, but I think the city has committed a total of $10.5 million to date for the sports complex.
Correct. That's to date.
And it remains a big priority for this council and administration, correct, Mayor?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question that Phase 1A and 1B are moving forward. The Y and the city have reestablished a great relationship with one another, and we're here to help and serve each other to see this project come to fruition. And we're so excited for them, we're excited for this opportunity for us, but also for them. And you're right, you know, we don't have our own recreational programming here at the city. Maybe one day we will, but we don't have the staff right now. We don't even have any. We're not even in talks about that right now. So this is a huge benefit to the community to have someone that's already doing it so well be able to continue doing it for this new sports complex, because they really, that's their expertise. That's where they shine. That's what they do well. And so we're just here to support in any way that we can this entire project. We know how much these kiddos need a place to play. Mm-hmm. We have heard the community loud and clear. And so it's going to happen. It seems so slow going, but it's my promise is that it is going. It's not stopping. It's going. Like, it's full steam ahead. And we've increased our public outreach about the sports complex in recent months. And there will be another open house.
November 16th, Wednesday, November 16th at 5 p.m. at the Gig Harbor Civic Center.
Yes. Thank you, Laura.
And you can RSVP on the city's Facebook page. And that's facebook.com, City of Gig Harbor.
Yeah, so please come out to that open house so that you can see where we are on the design progress for Phase 1B. And then I'm sure the YMCA, Charlie will mention and talk about later what any public outreach that they might be doing in terms of fundraising, open houses of theirs, you know, that they would like to have to let the community know what their portion is and what they're doing. And we'd be happy to help them with that as well. So anything we can do.
And I know you're both open to questions from the public at any time on this.
Anytime, yeah.
And you're both very reachable, either by mayor and council, mm-hmm. gigharbor.gov, or your email, and Jeff, yours as well. So
yes.
I know that you're more than open to questions at any time from our community.
Absolutely, we encourage those. We want the community to know what we're doing and be very transparent about what we're doing with this project.
Hey, last question to you. I know that there's been some inquiries about support for arts. And to note, some of this project in Phase 1B also has a proponent that could be used for arts. And that stage, that performing arts component might be something that we can look into in the future as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We are looking forward to not just concerts, but drama, plays. I know we've missed it so much in this area since our local theater, you know, had to close down. And so, I'm very supportive of the arts. I know our entire staff is as well. And I think even throughout the grounds, I think there's potential for some art installments and, different places. Jeff, you may know a little bit more about that piece, but.
Yeah. Whenever we have large capital projects, whether it's in parks, transportation projects and the roadways, we work with the Arts Commission to see if there's a way to incorporate an art element into mm-hmm. the project. So hopefully the public sees those in the larger projects, and this will be another one of those sites where we'll hopefully be able to incorporate some art based on input from the public and the Arts Commission.
Yeah.
Well, I know one of the last questions we've had too is, you know, there's a lack of lit turfed fields for kids to play, but the other question has been, with the rise in population, do we have enough parks? And I think one of the most interesting things I've heard from both of you over the last, you know, few weeks is that we have one of the best park density measurements. We have 23 parks in over 6.12 miles, and mm-hmm. four of those have been added since 2017. So there really is a strong commitment to supporting our population as we grow and making sure there's places for kids to play and practice and develop in sports and arts and all the things that they're interested in. So I know there's a really strong component there that you can go out and physically and tangibly touch and play on and mm-hmm. play on those great play structures like the one at Veterans Park. So there's been a lot of work done.
And it's not just those active parks. It's the passive parks mm-hmm. also. Open spaces. The city is continuing to acquire some very key open spaces, and those will help not only with passive activities, but also just with environmental benefits. So they're win-wins across the board.
Yeah, absolutely. We have so many amazing parks. You know, Adam Tallman Park, I love going through there on those trails and just being in the trees and just it's so beautiful. And you're right in the middle of town, in the middle of, you know, busy streets, but you feel like you're in the middle of nowhere. And we have a lot of places like that and a lot of waterfront access parks and places to just go sit by the water and just watch birds and watch boats and, you know, or get your kayak in the water. And it's just we have a lot to choose from. And on our website, we have a new GIS map, I think, of where all of our parks are, where you can access the waterfront and where you can view from. So you can check that out on the city's Facebook or website and see where all of our parks are and go check out a park that you haven't been to before.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Public Works Director Jeff Langhelm, for both being here and talking about the Gig Harbor Sports Complex. I know we have some upcoming commentary from YMCA CEO Charlie Davis, and we're really excited to hear that too.
Happy to be here.
Very much so, and thank you, Charlie, for being here.
We have with us Charlie Davis, who's CEO of the YMCA for Pierce and Kitsap counties. Thank you for being here and answering a couple questions.
Yeah, glad to be here. This is fun. It's nice to meet you, Laura.
Wonderful.
It's a great topic. So,
to tell us a little bit more about how long this partnership has been in place.
Yeah, I feel like the partnership with the city's been a long time. You know, we've been in since 2007 at the YMCA, so opened at Gig Harbor. It's been an amazing partnership with the community, with the city. Everyone embraces the Y, and we embrace the community. But this specific project, 2017, the city and the Y came together and recognized that we could do something great for the community. We'd fields were obviously a huge demand for activities, recreation, participation in sports. There's a shortage throughout the community, I guess beyond Gig Harbor, but specifically in Gig Harbor. So the community said, hey, we want a place for our kids and our families to have recreation. So they came together. The city took the lead. We developed a partnership, and it's been great. And working towards, hopefully, in the next year and a half, we'll have fields in the community. So
yeah. Well, I know there's some real specific attributes that the Y brings to the table, of course. So in the end project goal, there are lit turfed fields that have needs, that have staffing, that have scheduling needs, and the Y really brings a lot of that to the table. Can you tell us a little bit about what that's going to look like once they're constructed?
Yeah, and it did seem like a good marriage, a good partnership, because we have an infrastructure. We have an understanding of how to do that. We've done it for long time, youth programming, scheduling. So the Y will take the lead, and not just in raising the funds to build it, but to operate it, maintain it. And the way it's going to work is that we'll have staff dedicated to this. So we'll also have to buy equipment that will be, you know, to design to take care of turf fields. So we'll maintain it. And we'll schedule it. So we've been meeting with the sports groups since 2017 as well. And that's a primary group, but there'll be more than that. There'll be people who just want to come out and use the fields for recreation. But this is something we think we have done for a long time and understand how to do that. And so it fits.
Absolutely. And that's something the city can't do. So you having the Y come in is really, really helpful. Talk to me a little bit about the process. I know, so the Y is fundraising right now and putting together the design and constructing phase 1A, and the city is supporting by constructing phase 1B. Talk to me a little bit about the permitting and some of the work that's been in motion on the grading and that kind of prep.
Yeah, that's where the partnership is really important, because the city's really understands the challenges, so it's accommodated, the process facilitated. The permitting, we have kind of a line in the sand, 2023, June 30th, that we really need to be able to say we can get this done, meaning our fundraising is pretty, at least we know we can complete the project. And so that was when the permitting will begin. And we have completed 30% of the design up to now. And we now have entered into the process to complete it. That's a process with AHBL. That's the team that we've been working with. So they're working with that. The grading, you know, that's been a little, you know, that's a work in progress, in the sense that we wanted to have zero grade, and that's great for competition, so the kids can play in tournaments, right. And so zero grade was important. We worked through that, and now that's the commitment from the city, that the city engineers, that we'll have zero grade.
It's fantastic. You mentioned fundraising, so I know that's in progress, and that's been in progress and slowed a little bit by COVID, but back in full force. And I think it's always so interesting to talk about fundraising and how that is structured. I know that there's a lot of major gifts, and when we have a public nonprofit private partnership like this, there's a lot of different places where funding comes from state grants, from city, from perhaps even federal, and then also charitable donations and gifts. So talk to us a little bit about that process.
So we're in the fundraising. We call it the quiet phase, you know, because we're just approaching people, like you said, state, private organizations, not just foundations, but corporate. And we're approaching people that it fits their vision of outdoor environmental, you know, opportunities for outdoor right now after COVID or through COVID is huge, right? Mm-hmm. People feel safer. Recreation's always been big, but now it seems to get a lot of more attention. But so there are a lot of organizations and individuals who see this as a great contribution to the quality of life in Gig Harbor. You know, families coming together, kids being able to play. There's a lot of interest in this. It's been a buzz. Every time we get into small groups and share, people step up and say, how can I help? I feel like this community is really excited about this, but they're excited about the quality of life in Gig Harbor, and that's impressive. And for the Y to be a part of that, it feels like that's our mission too. So it feels good.
And tell us, how's that process going? Are you, how is the total amount toward the end goal going?
Yeah, so we, at this point, you know, when we complete the design, we'll get a more accurate up-to-date fundraising goal, because the cost is a little bit challenging with inflation. And so we think it's a $7 million cost.
Okay.
And that's for the two fields, the lights, the concession/restrooms, parking, extra parking. So there's work on landscaping. We have to fit the code. So we think $7 million. The city has worked really well with us to help with the retaining walls, the grading, you know, getting the most efficient, using, you know, scale to scale, so that, you know, they're working on 1B, so they know that there are efficiencies by doing them together. So that's going to help. So they're really working with us. And I think it's going to be, we've raised over $1 million, and that's not with a lot of effort. So that just shows the support and the enthusiasm for this project. So I feel really encouraged by that. I feel positive. I think the team does. We've got some great volunteers, and that's the big deal. When you get volunteers to help, who knows somebody or know an organization who can open a door, that's when everything changes, and we're seeing that. So I'm encouraged at this point.
That's great. That's great. So, I mean, you also mentioned that you're in touch with a lot of those sports groups, and that there's a very specific understanding of their needs and what will happen there. Tell us a little bit about what you envision the final project looking like, and how you envision families and sports. I know, obviously, a 0% grade is very important for sports like soccer, where you have a round ball. These are multi-use fields, too.
Correct.
So there can be many sports that are played. Tell us a little bit about your vision for the end project.
Yeah, so just to show the excitement and support, the sports groups did come together. Michael Perot and his sister Christy Ewison came together, formed a coalition. There are sports groups, Harbor Soccer, Lacrosse, Peninsula Football, Little League. I'm sure I'm missing someone. But the sports groups represent a minimum of 7,000 families. That's a minimum. And they have aligned themselves. They'll say, hey, you know, we're going to lean in with you. So that was the conversation that started in 2017. They were as excited about this project as anyone, because they're the ones who really struggle with finding space. I mean, it's heart-wrenching almost to hear how they're adjusting their lives to find a place for their kids to play. And that was the impetus, really, that drove the Y to take the lead, because we heard the testimonials in a way, right? It was people saying, gosh, we're driving miles, we're playing on asphalt, or we're looking for any place for kids to have an opportunity to have fun and play outdoors. And so we realized this was a huge need. The city realized it. We went to the community input sessions. It was amazing. I mean, hours of testimonials where families and kids step forward, kids saying, hey, we need fields. So the groups have come together. They're playing a key role. We, like I said, will play this key role to handling the scheduling. So that, you know, we've met with the school district. They handled it previously. Hearing about it's competitive, right? You know, people want to reserve space, but we'll work with the teams and everybody's on board. They know it's the first step. This isn't the end point. As you know, this is probably, it's called a sports complex. It's got additional phases in the future, and that's designed to continue to grow and accommodate the demand. The demand is huge. And so this allows, right, the tournaments, the community gets to invite other people to come in, and it's good for the economy, local economy. And so this is really a positive thing for the community, and the Y is really grateful to be involved in it and to play a role. That's our mission, right? So this fits. Everyone's happy. So absolutely, it's a good thing.
Well, the city is great, very grateful for the Y's involvement as well. You know, I know you'd mentioned the Y would have loved to see this project happen. What do you think the likelihood would have been on doing it without the city, or how long would it have taken if the Y was doing it on your own?
Yeah, I mean, COVID changed everything, so the equation wasn't. But without the city's partnership, this project wouldn't have happened. And that's an important piece. You know, the Y understands we couldn't have done it. And together, we can. And so that's the beauty of this, is that it's not the Y's project. This is the community's, and the city facilitated it. But this is owned by the community, the sports groups, the families. This is one of those that's a win-win for everyone. It really does feel like that way.
Absolutely. Well, we are so grateful not only for this project, but to have the Y in our community. The Tom Taylor family, Y is just an amazing asset. And if you haven't been, of course, you should check it out. But again, Charlie Davis, CEO, YMCA, Kitsap and Pierce Counties, we are so grateful to have you with us today. And thank you so much.
Well, thanks, Laura. It's fun. And I really appreciate this opportunity for the Y. And from, you know, it's fun for me. I've been to a lot of meetings, but it's always leave with a positive energy from community involvement. That's the key, right? This is emanated from community interest and involvement, and that's what's going to make it. So thank you for this opportunity.
Absolutely. All right, well, we'll see you out on the fields.
And we'll see you on the fields. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you.
This has been an official podcast from the City of Gig Harbor. Thank you for listening. For more information, visit cityofgigharbor.net. If you have ideas for future podcasts or specific questions on today's topics, email communications@gigharborwa.gov.